This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. You know, when we're young, we don't think much about death, much less planning for our funeral. But it wasn't always that way in the history of the world. For most of human history, many children died before becoming adults. And people were well aware that death could happen to anyone, at any time, for a multitude of reasons. But people who have lived in the United States during this past century are unique in human history. Never before has there been such a prosperous nation. Never before have people been so well fed. Never before have people had access to such awesome life-saving medical care. As a result, many young people today think that this awesome life we have in America is normal. They think they're nearly immortal and that death is something that happens to really old people. But all we have to do is watch the TV or surf the internet, and we will find out very quickly that even very young people die for a variety of reasons. In fact, in many of the poor nations of this world, death is a daily reality. And as a result, people there don't take life for granted, not even the young people. Well, that's how it was in Jesus' day. Death was a harsh reality, and multiple things could end your life, even if you were young and healthy. Therefore, back in Jesus' day, people were well aware that they needed hope in the face of death, and that only something bigger and stronger than themselves could give them hope. But sadly, many people trusted in the wrong things to give them hope, and we still have the same problem today. So what's the answer to the fact that we must all face death one way or another, sooner or later? In fact, why do we die at all if there is a God and if He loves us? Well, as you know, Scripture clearly teaches that death was not part of God's original plan for this world. The reason we face death is that this is God's warning sign to us that something is wrong with the world. And of course, what's wrong with the world is our rebellion against God. Simply put, we desperately need a Savior from our own sin against God. And we have that Savior. That Savior is Jesus, the eternal Son of God in human flesh. Therefore, my friends, everyone in this world should be making funeral preparations that first and foremost include the fact that we need to live and die trusting in the Savior that God has given us. Because if we decide to face death without trust in Jesus, we have no hope. With that said, let's examine today's gospel reading and learn about the hope that we have in Jesus, so that as we daily deal with the fact that we must all face death because of our sin, we can be prepared for death knowing that we have forgiveness and eternal hope in Jesus. First of all, today's gospel reading from John chapter 12 takes place not long after the events described in John chapter 11. In fact, on Easter Sunday, I preached on John chapter 11, where we learned about how Jesus brought a man named Lazarus to life after his body had been decaying in the tomb for 4 days. Now, at the beginning of John chapter 12, we see that Jesus and his disciples are at the home of Lazarus, whom Jesus had recently raised from the dead. And at the beginning of John chapter 12, we're told that it was 6 days before the Passover. Now, don't miss that. You see, this is a special Passover. It's a special Passover because it would be the last one that Jesus would celebrate with his apostles just before his death. In other words, Jesus' death was only a few days away. You know, I wonder What was going through Jesus' mind as he sat down at this dinner at Lazarus' home? Can you imagine if you knew that you were going to die in a few days and that your death would be more painful than most deaths in human history? What would you be thinking? What would you be doing? I'm sure that most of us would be thinking about some way to avoid our upcoming death, especially if it was going to be horribly painful. But what if we found out that there was absolutely nothing we could do to avoid such a death? Well, we'd probably spend the next few days in utter fear and total depression. But in our gospel reading, we see Jesus is having dinner with Lazarus and his family. Jesus knows that he will suffer and die in just a few days. But even though Jesus had the power to avoid his death, even though he could have left this world that has been cursed by our sin, he stayed here. So what was he thinking about? I'll tell you. He was thinking about you and how much he loves you, because that was the reason he was going to die. Our gospel reading says that Jesus was attending a dinner at Lazarus' house, a dinner given in Jesus' honor. I guess Lazarus wanted to thank Jesus for bringing him back from the dead. You know, if I had been dead for 4 days and someone brought me back, I'd be pretty thankful to him too. In fact, I'm sure there were many guests at this special dinner. I mean, can you imagine getting an invitation in the mail to a dinner like that? Hey, honey, we just got a dinner invitation. It says here it's at Lazarus' home. You know Lazarus, the guy that was dead for 4 days and now he's alive again? I mean, can you imagine attending a dinner where the host was a guy who was 6 feet under for 4 days? What would you say to him? I'm sure you'd have a few questions. But what's interesting is that we don't hear about any of that in today's gospel reading. Instead, the focus is on Jesus. We're told that Mary, the sister of Lazarus, took a jar of very expensive perfume and poured it on Jesus' feet and then wiped his feet with her hair. This was obviously an utter humble act, as well as an act of adoration. Why did she do this for Jesus? Well, we'll find out about that in a bit. First, listen to the next part of our gospel reading again. But one of Jesus' disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Does that sound familiar? There are people throughout history and people in our modern world who think that we are wasting our money supporting places like this, Concordia Lutheran. I mean, we could use all the money we give for offerings to help the poor, couldn't we? Well, first of all, our congregation does help the poor in many ways. We have a benevolence fund that helps people in our congregation and community. We support Orphan Grain Train and Mercy Meals. We support an orphan in Africa. We host the community Thanksgiving dinner every year. In fact, I'm sure that many of our members, in addition to giving offerings to Concordia, also donate to other charities from time to time. So we do help the poor. But I won't deny that we spend our money on other things. For example, in the past, the members of Concordia in the past gave sacrificially so that this building, this sanctuary that we're in right now, could be built. And we continue to use our offerings to maintain this house of worship. Also, your offerings support me and Neva so that we can dedicate our full time to sharing God's word with people in this place, in our community. In addition, our congregation gives 10% of our offerings to missions so that others can take the gospel to places that we can't go. We also use our offerings to buy Sunday school materials and adult Bible study materials and evangelism materials so that people can grow in their knowledge of God's word and hear about Jesus. Now, I could go on and on about how we use God's money for spiritual things. But sadly, some people think it's a huge waste. Now, of course, we learn from our gospel reading that Judas wasn't really concerned about the poor. He was sad because the perfume that Mary had poured on Jesus could have been sold for a hefty sum, and that hefty sum would have been placed in the money bag, which was supposed to be used exclusively for the poor. But sadly, as we heard, Judas would help himself to some of that money. Now, of course, nobody knew that Judas was stealing. He was getting away with it. Let me rephrase that. No one knew that Judas was stealing except God. God knew. But in spite of that, Judas pretended to be pious, and he said, "We should have sold that perfume and given the money to the poor." You know, even we Christians can come up with evil excuses to not support the work of Christ's church. In fact, when the devil does tempt us to hold back from Christ's church, it's not usually because we're planning to give that money to the poor. It's usually because we want to spend it on ourselves. So we dare not condemn Judas as though we're more holy than he is. We're all guilty of misusing God's money sometimes. So how does Jesus respond to Judas's comments? Well, listen. Jesus replied, "Leave her alone. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." So what is Jesus' point? And how do Jesus' words apply to us today? Well, first, Jesus reminds Judas and everyone else, including us, that we will always have opportunities to help the poor, and we should do that. But we should also use God's money to honor Christ and the mission of His church. Because even more than physical needs, people need Jesus. In fact, Jesus said that Mary saved her expensive perfume for Jesus' funeral preparation. You see, Mary knew that Jesus was going to die soon. But how did she know that? Well, Jesus had told her and all the other apostles ahead of time that he was soon going to be handed over to the Romans and he would be crucified. He told them that several times in advance. So Mary was probably thinking, once the Romans had Jesus' body, she didn't know if she would have access to it again, and so she anointed Jesus' body in advance. Well, I wonder what Jesus' apostles were thinking when they heard Jesus say what he did. You see, they had heard the same words of Jesus that Mary had heard. They had heard Jesus predict his upcoming death and resurrection. But unlike Mary, they didn't really want to think that it would actually happen. They had other more practical plans for Jesus, you see. For instance, they wanted Jesus to use his power to conquer the Romans and also to do some more miracles, like raising a few more people from the dead. Wouldn't that be nice? They didn't even want to think about Jesus' death. But Mary understood something that they refused to accept. So even though we have the privilege and joy of using God's money to help the poor who will always be among us, we have learned today that we should also use our money like Mary did. We get to use God's money to honor Jesus' death and resurrection for us and the whole world. The question is, how do we honor Jesus now? Well, one way we do that is by building special buildings whose sole purpose is for baptism and the preaching and teaching of God's Word and the reception of the Holy Supper. Sure, when Christianity first got started, especially when it was illegal, Christians would meet secretly in caves or in people's homes. But you know what? As soon as Christians had the opportunity, even when they were being persecuted, they would pool their money and build special places dedicated solely for the purpose of gathering in this special holy place to receive God's gifts. Christians throughout history have done that as a way of saying, this is important to us. This is supposed to be the center of our lives, and we want everyone in the world to know it. And so one way we honor Jesus is by establishing places like this and then making them the center of our lives. We need to remember that because in America that's quickly becoming something of the past. Sadly, more and more in America today, focusing on spiritual things is becoming less and less of a priority. We need to repent of that. We need to remember why our ancestors built this place. We need to remember that this place and the things that go on here are to be at the center of our lives. Well, people think that we are probably wasting our money on such things. But we know that Christ and His mission is worth every cent. I remember one time my father told me about a conversation he had at lunch with some of his fellow employees. They were visiting about various things and the topic of church came up. And my dad mentioned how important it was to him and his family and how it was important enough that he believed that it was necessary for him to take what little money he earned and give some of it to support the mission of Christ Church. And I remember he told me that some of his fellow employees said, oh, what a waste. What a waste. You could use that money for so many other things. What a waste. Is it? Some people might think it's a waste, but we know that Christ and His mission is worth every cent. Because without Jesus, without His death and resurrection for us, we have no hope in the face of death. And this world needs hope. This world needs Jesus. That's why we give some of God's money to the mission of His church. Our gospel reading ends with these words. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of Him, but also because of Lazarus, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well, for on account of Lazarus, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in Him. Now here we see that some people did believe in Jesus, especially after seeing how He had raised Lazarus from the dead. But others refused to believe, even in the face of this awesome miracle. In fact, we're told that the chief priests of the Jews were making plans not only to kill Jesus, but also to kill Lazarus. Little did they know that God was using their evil plans to carry out His mission to save them and all people. Yes, you heard me correctly. Jesus also died for the chief priests who were planning to kill Him. Jesus also died for Judas, the thief who was about to betray Him. Jesus also died for Mary, who anointed his feet with expensive perfume, the feet that would soon be nailed to a cross for her. Jesus also died for you and for me, people who have sinned against God more times than we can imagine. We all have to die one day. We all must stand before God's judgment throne, and we need to prepare for that event. You see, if people do end up in hell, they have no one to blame but themselves. Sadly, many people today, like the chief priests in our gospel reading, they reject Jesus to the very end, and they push away the salvation that God longs to give each and every one of us. But my friends, God doesn't want that for you. That's why He wanted you here today, to hear today's gospel reading, and to learn about Jesus' funeral preparations. Just think of it, my friends. Jesus was the only man in history who didn't have to prepare for his funeral if he didn't want to. Jesus was the only man in history who could have avoided death. Do you remember what Jesus said back in John chapter 10? The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. Did you hear that? God's Son went to the cross willingly for you. God's Son conquered death for you. Therefore, like Mary, we give our best to Jesus because He gave His all for us. We not only use some of God's money to support His mission, but we also entrust God with our very lives. We strive to live for Him every day because we know that He is the one who forgives our many sins, and He gives us certain hope in the face of death itself. In closing, we don't know for sure what happened to Lazarus. We don't know if he was murdered or whether he eventually died of natural causes. But one thing we do know for sure, Lazarus eventually died again. However, Lazarus died knowing that his sins were forgiven because Jesus died for him. Lazarus also died knowing that because Jesus is the resurrection and the life, one day Jesus would bring his body back to life again, but this time he would live forever and he would never ever die. We who trust in Jesus, we who receive his gifts in this place, we have the same hope as Lazarus. We who trust in Jesus, we who receive his gifts in this place, we have the same hope as Mary. And therefore we worship Jesus, the Son of God who prepared for his funeral, but he had us on his mind the whole time. Amen.